Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 7 is the text for our consideration this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to verse 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. Men by nature are very reactionary. When someone slapped us, our natural inclination is to slap back. When someone drive into our lane and cut into our path, we want to react, and either some unmentionable expletives may come out of our mouth, might even be a curse, or we will try our best to cut back in front of this person. In the office, it's no different. In schools, no different. Even when we were little children, it's no different. Two children playing together, and one may just simply snatch the toy from another. And the reaction is to snatch it back. That's the sinful nature. That's the way we are. And so we grow up with this reactionary life. Basis, self must be preserved, and self must always come up on top. And this notion of self-preservation and self-promotion is very, very pervasive. And sometimes even among God's people, this residue of our sinful nature continues to abound. And because of that, you find husbands and wives quarreling. And they will not forgive one another. And they will remain in a position of stalemate, a position of silent treatment because of pride, because of this sinful, self-centered notion. Very common. In the committees, when we serve together, when we work together, we do not want to give way. We want to have the last word. We want our ideas to be pushed through and to come up on top. Any other ideas must be second to mine. This mentality is compounded in the face of persecution, because that was the background behind this book of 1 Peter. We must not forget that. And so what happens if you have people playing you out, members who betray you, who pretend to be your friends? It is so easy to fight and to kick back and to hurt the other party because we have been hurt. This morning, we're going to consider subject to one another, a phrase taken from verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Verses 1 to 4 in 1 Peter chapter 5, the elder used there is the word presbyteros, where we get the word Presbyterian. Same for the word elder in chapter 5, verse 5 as well. But they have two different meanings. Remember the basic rule of interpretation? A word has no meaning on its own outside of the context in which it is used. In verses 1 to 4, the context is with reference to the elder in position of leadership in the church. The other elder used in verse 5, because it is an antithesis, it is a comparison with the younger. That elder refers to age, to an older person, not with reference to the office per se, as you find in verses 1 to 4. And so likewise, younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And then the next phrase says, all of you, of course, of you is in the italics. It's added there for understanding, for better English. So literally will be all be subject one to another. That means everyone, older, younger, everyone in the Church of God, submit one to another. Submission is very special and unique. It has to be done by the person himself. Someone else cannot submit on your behalf. It doesn't work that way. And the word submit there, if it's used in the military sense, it refers to the rank and file soldier obeying a command. See, when we were in the National Service, we like to give commands, or at least I like to give commands. I was tasked with looking after recruits, training recruits. I spent my 2 years training recruits. 2.5 years was our term of service. And so I enjoy every minute of it. Giving command, of course. Telling people what to do. And so we were trained to shout commands where men would be standing about 400 meters away. And then we will shout and learn to use our diaphragm to practice. And so we tell them to stand at ease, and they are supposed to stand at ease. And then we'll tell them to stand attention, and they will stand in attention. We tell them to turn right, turn left, about turn and about face, and we do whatever we like with them. And they just simply have to obey. If they don't, they get punished. And so when you have an entire company right in front of you of about maybe 150 men, and all marching in timing, very nice to watch how they march, and then the drilling sound, all that, I love every minute. That's why I was very sad when I have to leave National Service. Seriously, because you realize that one phase of your life was over. So when used in the military sense, the submission there would be the kind of attitude and conduct of the soldiers. They have no choice. They have to do it whether they like it or not. They have to submit. But when it is used in the non-military sense, it describes a voluntary attitude. Like in this case, it's not a picture of a military army. It is a picture of the church. Submit. Non-military refers to a voluntary submission whereby the person will be very cooperative. The person would give in willingly, and he would be very happy to carry out whatever the burden of the other person might be. Whatever the request of the other person might be, it has to be voluntary, it has to be willing. And in this particular case, it is a non-military application to the Christian, to those who call themselves Christian. Willingly submit to your elders. Now, of course, the context is always with reference to things that are moral, things that are biblical, things that are good, things that are not criminal, not immoral, not blasphemous, not anti-God. You do not submit to an elder who tells you to rob, to steal, to commit adultery. You do not submit to an elder who tells you to tell lies. These you do not do. So it is not a blind submission, but it is an attitude, a voluntary submission, because submit yourselves. You have to do it on your own. The same word is used there to be subject. It is as if something would want you to do it. It is as if someone, something inside you will compel you to do it. That's why it is put in the passive voice, as it is something that you may not want to do it, but somehow something inside you will want to push you to do it. To do it willingly, not to do it by compulsion or with your teeth gritted together without a willing heart. It must be with a willing heart, because if it is not a willing heart, it's of no use. That kind of submission is not what is described here by the Apostle Peter to the Christians. You must do it willingly. To the elder, to someone who is older than you, listen to that person. The person is wiser, the person knows. Submit. And children today find it very, very difficult to submit to their own parents, because very often they think that they know better. The most difficult years would be the transitional years. When they are little children, they have no problem listening to parents. When they are adults, if they are godly, they have no problem honoring parents. The period, the window, whereby they find it so hard to obey their parents, to listen to people older than them, is during the teenage years, the youthful years, because this is the period, it is their transition from dependence into independence. And during this phase of transition, They want to assert their independence. They want their independence not to be curtailed by their parents to tell them what to do. They find it very difficult to adjust. Very hard. And so these rebellious years, for the Christian, this must apply. You have to learn to submit to your elders. And then all submit to one another. In return, and elders make mistakes. Elders are not always right. You must also learn to submit. Submission is something that it is so needful and necessary in every relationship. Do you realize that? When there is submission on both parties, on both sides, by both sides, you realize that even if it is a very serious misunderstanding, a very serious betrayal or hurt, you are ready to forgive. You're ready to embrace and make up, to reconcile. It's so wonderful, isn't it, to live in a home where there is peace and there is reconciliation, where there is no barrier between the parents, between the husband and wife, and between the children and the parents. A godly home. This kind of peace, this kind of wonderful obedience and love and mutual submission of one another where we think of the other party, the consideration is always there. How can I be a blessing to others? It's the basis for this subject to one another. To listen to another, to obey what the other person thinks, to esteem others better than myself. This is what Peter told them to do in the imperative. You have to do it. How to do it? Well, how to do it? You put on a garment of humility. Be clothed with humility. This is a phrase that is borrowed from the years of slavery that was very pervasive in those days. A slave would always wear a white handkerchief or a white scarf, and they would tie it around the girdle of their vest. It is a symbol to show that they are slaves. A free person will not be wearing this white piece of garment. A slave must, you have no choice. And using this imagery that was very common in the days of Peter, in the days of the Roman Empire, in the days of as far back as you can find in the scriptures where there are slaves. They have to distinguish themselves from free men and slaves by this white handkerchief. And borrowing this imagery, Peter tells all of us without exception, whether you're young or old, whether you're a leader or not, as long as you are the child of God, be clothed with humility. And you have to do it yourself. Middle voice. You have to do it yourself. Nobody can force you. Your mom cannot force you. Your mom cannot buy you, cannot threaten you, cannot bribe you. All these kind will be false. This has to be sincere. This has to be genuine. And this has to come from the heart. Be clothed with humility. Now, don't take these three verses out of the entire thrust of what the Lord Jesus Christ had been trying to drive at. Remember chapter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, where Christ is our example, how he humbled himself, and the responsive reading passage in Philippians chapter 2, put on the mind of Christ, that is the basis. That's why Peter is asking us to do something that our Lord Jesus Christ has already performed and done for us, and we are to pattern our submission after the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why he is not asking us something, to do something that we have not already experienced in our lives. Because if you're a Christian, and then you understand how the Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven's glory, which is perfect, and to came down to this earth to take on the form of a man, even that of a servant, a slave. And then to be humiliated, to be buffeted, to live among sinful men, the same sinful men that he came down to die for, whom he knew that they will one day betray him, and even his disciples will deny him. When he needed them most, when he asked them to pray with him, they fell asleep. When they're supposed to stand by his side, Peter, like the rest of them, fled, and so that he had to be crucified all alone because they were afraid. And Christ did all these things with all the suffering and the humiliation, the betrayal by Judas, the mocking, the punching, the spitting on him, and the mockery and everything, the whole lot that he had to suffer and endure, so that you and I may have salvation so rich and so free. And now this same garment of salvation that we have put on is also a garment of humility. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has set the standard. He has set the pattern. If you have truly accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, where Christ willingly self-humiliation took off his garment of glory, and then he came to die for your sins, for my sins. And that is the garment that we are told to put on. If you have tasted God's goodness, God's grace, and God's mercy in your life, put on this garment of humility. Be clothed with humility, would you? Bite your tongue. Change your whole mindset. Subject to one another. Change your whole mindset. Be prepared to listen, to submit ourselves. Our ideas may be brought forward, may be mentioned, but do not have to push it, especially with your friends or somebody else's idea is better than yours. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous. Subject to one another. Willingly, voluntarily. That's what it means. Three promises, if you are prepared to do that. Three promises from God, from these three verses. The first promise, if you are prepared to submit to one another, is that God will give grace to you. You want the grace of God in your life? That's what God says, right? And he will give grace to the humble. He will enable you to do it. He will bring blessings upon blessings into your life. That's what grace is. God did not use mercy. Mercy means the punishment we deserve, he withheld. Grace means the blessings we do not deserve, he continues to give. And he will continue to give us over and over more and more of his grace that you will be able to endure no matter how you may be bullied, no matter how you may be pushed around. He will give you the grace to submit to one another. Do not assert your right, which is our normal inclination. E. Stanley Jones, a well-known Christian missionary to India, tells of a situation where the fellow members of his ashram helped him in a problem regarding his spiritual reputation. It seems that for a number of years, Jones had supported a prominent man financially. And when the time came that he could no longer support this man turned on Jones. Imagine that. You helped this person financially for so long and then one day you stop because you are not able to do so anymore. The same person who you've been helping turn around and he attacked Jones in the public press. So E. Stanley Jones sat down and wrote a letter of reply of a few sentences, the kind of reply in which you don't give your opponent a leg to stand on. As he put it, the kind of reply, you are proud of the first 5 minutes. The second 5 minutes, you're not so certain. And then the third 5 minutes, you know you're wrong. But before he mailed this letter, he sent this reply to the people of the ashram to get their opinion of it. They sent it back with three words written on the margin. Not sufficiently redemptive. As Jones read those words, he was devastated. He knew that he was winning the argument, but losing his man. He knew immediately that the Christian is not in the business of winning arguments, but of winning people. And so he tore up the letter and said, Lord, you will have to take care of my reputation. A few weeks later, he received a letter of apology from the man who turned on him. When the self is unsurrendered, it tends to be touchy, easily provoked, unable to bear insults. When the self is surrendered to Christ and the love of Jesus fills and cleanses the self, then we can bear all things, endure all things, and men and women are impacted by our lives. End of quote. Simple, isn't it? That's God's grace. God will enable us to have that kind of humility, that kind of subdued spirit. Very hard to do, isn't it? Because I'm sure all of us have experienced what's it like to retaliate because we're all very good at it. Some of us might even be PhDs in retaliation. Is that not true? Very easy. Husband and wife relationship, that's a very easy test. How we drive, how we talk, how we conduct ourselves in meetings, our committee meetings, our Sunday school teachers meetings, all these meetings are very, very revealing whether the grace of God is in our lives or it is absent. Because someone who is prepared to put on the garment of humility, he will subject himself to others. And then God says, my grace is upon you. I will give you the grace to the humble. The second promise, verse 6. Humble yourselves. Therefore, it is exactly the same as what you find in verse 5, the last part. It's a continuation of the argument. Would you do it willingly yourself? Therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So do it for God's sake. The person does not deserve it. The person deserves a slap, actually, you might think. The person is rude. The person is loud. The person is most unbecoming in his behavior, in his conduct. All these are right, and therefore the person does not deserve my wonderful act of humility. If the person deserves it, anybody can do that, isn't it? Genuine, true, sincere humility, where the garment of humility is really put on, is demonstrated toward people who truly do not deserve it. And that's the best way to help them out of their mean demeanor. They are wicked, they are unbecoming demeanor. When they raise their voice, you don't raise. Very hard to do, is it? Because the natural inclination is, you raise it, how many decibels? By 5 decibels, I will raise it 10 decibels. And then you raise it by 10 decibels, I raise it another 15 decibels. And you'll be amazed how some of us can have very, very loud voices. In our magazine, 30th anniversary magazine, they put down the persons who have the loudest voice. It's a terrible thing to do, isn't it? You think so? You think so? Because there was no test, you know, for the champion loud voice, you know. I think some of you can be very, very loud, just that you have this demeanor of quietness, that's all. You haven't seen some of you raise your voice, isn't it? You have a woman champion and a male champion. And we should test them someday. Put them in a soundproof room and then have the decibel where they measure how loud your voice is. We tried that when we were in architecture. We played a fool, you see, after we'd done all our experiments, we were in this soundproof room, and so a group of us were there with this equipment, a gadget to measure how loud our voices are. And so we scream and shout as loud as we can. That's what we did. Mine was measured according to the same sound that you hear those when you do those, drilling on the road. Mine isn't that. I don't know if that's loud or not, but that's the measure. The same amount of sound, the decibel. Would you submit yourselves because of the Lord's sake, under the mighty hand of God? Because in the face of persecution, when you are betrayed, when you are hurt very deeply, when you see your loved ones being killed, arrested, so easy to retaliate. This was the picture, this was the scenario. But the moment God is in the equation of our lives, where we know that our sovereign God Almighty, He is in control of my life, everything else will be seen with this proper equilibrium and perspective. My God is in control. This person may betray me. This person may do all kinds of things in the cover of darkness. But our God is always there. And He will always be there to see us through. No matter what, He will not allow anything to hurt me, to harm me without His permission. And that is our God. And this is the God that we must realize that we do it because of our God who is always sovereign and in control. And therefore, once we understand this, that He may exalt you in due time. And so the second promise is timely exaltation. The promotion will come in His good time. And please do not perceive this exaltation in terms of material human accolades. The Lord Jesus Christ was exalted after His resurrection. Remember that? God put Him and gave Him back all that He had surrendered, that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess one day at the mention of His name. Is that not true? So exaltation must not be measured in terms of our own definition and time frame, that you're going to have the last word. No. The exaltation in the case of Peter, where he will be crucified upside down, will not be found on earth. So this exaltation will be the final, most supreme of all exaltation, where the children of God, God says, will be made plain and clear and manifest to the whole world.
that these are my children whom you have persecuted, whom you have taken advantage of, whom you have abused, and they did not retaliate. They submitted themselves to all the abuse that you have hurled at them. And now I will put them up and show you that these are my sons and my daughters. That's the exaltation that God speaks of. It is not a material, it is not carnal. Don't look for these. The Apostle Paul had his head cut off or eaten by lions, cannot be confirmed. What was his exaltation on earth? He ended up in prison. He wrote many of the prison epistles. He died while he was in prison, waiting to be killed. But the moment he understood the sovereignty of God, he submitted himself to the mighty hand, the powerful hand of God. He is all powerful. You think God cannot deliver Paul? He think he could not deliver Peter? He could easily deliver them. But it was time for them to come home. Their service was over. That's all. Under the mighty hand of God, the powerful hand of God, and God will put us up, exalt us in his time. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, we will all be exalted with the glorified body put up for the whole world to see. These are my blood bought. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed all these. And they have lived a life that is glorifying to my name. They have submitted themselves. They have demonstrated Christ-like humility. That kind of submission you and I must have, because you want people to see Christ in your life? This is what the world needs to see. But they will see me as a doormat. So what? Was Christ not our doormat? But they will take advantage of me. Did they not take advantage of Christ? Did you and I not take advantage of Christ when he died on the cross for our sins? But yes, there'll be a lot of buts. Under the mighty hand of God, nothing happens to you by chance. Always by the power of God Almighty, he controls every moment of your life. No accidents, no bad luck or good luck. Always the providential care of our God over our lives. And you think God was not loving, God was not there when William Tyndale was burned at the stake simply for translating the word of God? You think God was not there when John Huss was betrayed by the king who promised him protection, and that's why he went through the Diet of Worms, and then he was betrayed and then they burned him? You think God was not present? Do not equate the presence and the absence of God with finite terms and finite definitions and men's definition. They submitted themselves to the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt them in his time. Never too late. Never too early, right on time, his time, for his glory. And if it means we have to lose our freedom and lose our life in the process because of our obedience to God and because we want to demonstrate Christ-likeness by wearing the garment of humility, so be it. This is God's way to glorify his name. Not to have the last word. Bite your tongue, husbands and wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. This is what it means to submit ourselves one to another. And God's promise will be yours. He will give you the grace to do it. No matter how many times, he will give you the grace. And he will exalt you in due time. Your life and your testimony will be tremendous, especially to the children around you, to your own sons and daughters. You keep on squabbling and quarreling. What do you think the impact will be on your children? You don't apologize to one that don't know how to make up in your relationship. What do you think the children will remember? Mom and dad quarreled, they never apologize. Why must I? You put on the garment of humility, your children will learn. And then the children, once they put on the garment of humility, they will show it to their friends as well. The same garment of humility that they have learned from you. Why would they not want to believe in Christ when you truly demonstrate how good and how wonderful and compassionate a Savior we have? The impact that your life can have in the lives of people around you cannot be measured. It's innumerable because the impact is for eternity. This life that you have to live is so, so wonderful. The impact could be positive, like what Peter encourages us, or it could be negative, it could be devastating, The choice is yours to make. Look back on your life. How have you been impacting in the lives of the people closest to you? The people that you spend the longest amount of time will be your family, isn't it? That's your innermost circle. That's where the true measure of your impact will be. Not on a Sunday when all of us will behave ourselves nicely, we put on our Sunday best, we are a little bit more patient and longer suffering when we deal with one another for these few hours. Let it be seen in the lives of the people that we spend the longest amount of time with, our families. They will see us through and through, whether we truly have the garment of humility to subject ourselves to one another. Do we? You know best. You know your own life. You know all your relationship with your friends, even with those who have used you, hurt you. You pray for them. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ told us in the Sermon on the Mount. If they slap us on the right, we turn our cheek to the left. If they ask us to go one mile, we go two. If they betray us and they despitefully use us, make use of us, what did the Bible tell us? We pray for them. Why? Because of the mighty hand of our God. He is in control. And He will exalt us in His time, in the day of glorification, which is not too far away, my friends. Not too far away. So you want to demonstrate what's it like to have this garment of humility? You don't have too much time left, because the moment the window is closed, the Lord Jesus Christ comes. That's it. You want to put it on, then it's too late. Too late. Right now is the time. If you have anything to say to your wife or to your husband to mend the relationship, say it right now. Don't delay. Parent-child relationship the same. Friend and friend the same. Whatever it is, do not allow animosity, pride, and the bitter spirit to rob you of the blessed impact your life can have in the lives of people that God sends your way. Third promise. Nobody cares. Sometimes you may feel that way. Nobody understands. You may even cry that way. Verse 7 gives us the third promise, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. God cares. That's the third promise. God will give grace. God will exalt you in due time, timely exaltation. And the third promise is He cares. Is that not enough to put on the garment of humility? Will we learn to subject, submit to one another? God cares. There are times when your trials can be so painful that the person closest to you cannot even feel a little bit of what you are feeling. But you must remember that God cares. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Do you know one of the first qualifications of a high priest is this? He must be a man. Do you know that? You find this in the book of Hebrews. He must be a man to be the high priest of men. Why? Because He experienced all that we have experienced. He was tempted in all points just as we are. He can empathize with us, and yet without sin. You want to talk about betrayal? He had been betrayed. You want to talk about pain and loneliness? Was He not lonely? Was He not in pain at the garden when He prayed? Sweated like as it were drops of blood? Was He not alone when He hung on the cross? We and I talk about nobody cares, nobody understands. Can anybody ever comprehend what the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure? The pain and the suffering that He had to endure? To know that there is a Heavenly Father who is all-powerful, who did not lift a finger to deliver the Son when the Son hung there on the cross, so much so that the Son had to cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Any loving father will reach for His hand to deliver the Son when you and I see our sons being bitten up. But God the Father, because of His love for you and for me, did not lift a finger to deliver His own Son from the cross. He allowed His Son to be buffeted, to be crucified, in order to redeem you and me of our sins. That's what He did. And then how dare we say, God doesn't care, He cares. He cares more than you could ever know. And when we are in that state of humility, that's when we will experience truly the care and the love of our Heavenly Father. He will never leave us. He'll always be there for us. He has given us that promise. So never cry. Why me, Lord? Why are You so far away from me? It's because we are far away from Him. He really cares. He really does. Casting all your care upon him, therefore. That means throw all your burdens, all your care at the foot of the cross. Pray, in other words. Pray without ceasing. Lean on him, not on your friends, not on your own wisdom, not on your own understanding. Lean on Christ, lean on God. Pour your heart out to him. He will be there to lift you up, to strengthen you, to help you, to encourage you. He will never, never forsake you. The Apostle Paul was afraid when he was ministering. Remember in one part of the book of Acts, he was afraid. And so the Lord had to appear to Paul in a vision by night and said, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." He needed encouragement, like all of us. The Lord will always be there. When you commune with him, he will speak to your heart through the text, through the Bible verses that you read. He'll always be there. And this kind of experiences are priceless and precious, but it must be on his terms. His term is that you want to experience the deep sense of God's care and God's presence in your life, you put on the garment of humility. And you learn to subject one to another that you may know his grace, that you may experience and trust him about his exaltation in his time, and that to know that he truly cares for you. He will never desert you. He will never, never leave you. It's a father-son relationship from a perfect father. All of us who are fathers, mothers, you know what it means, right? To look after your children, those who are new parents. You look at this tiny little baby. You know how they are like. They are so helpless and so tender. And you are one to care for them and care for them and care for them and care for them until they grow up. And even after they grow up and they have a life of their own, the care and the love that you have in your heart for them never stops. Is that not true, parents? And we are imperfect and we make mistakes and we make blunders over and over again. And yet we know what it's like to have a loving parental heart. And you think God, the Heavenly Father, who loved us when we were his enemies, and now that he has made us his sons and his daughters, you think he's going to ignore us? You think he's going to abandon us? He never will. He never, never will. Cast all your cares before his throne of grace. And then you will truly experience his care, his love for you in ways and means that you will be so amazed. And you will ask yourself, why did I not tread on this path? Why have I been a Christian for so long and have not had these experiences? And why do I want to go back to the swill like a dog going back to its own vomit? God has delivered us from the filth of this world. Don't have a divided heart. Loving God on Sunday and loving the world on another, and going our own way where self-will continues to fight against God's will. Don't. We are the loser. Every minute we do not submit is a minute wasted, and it will never come back. Whatever is in the past, dear friends. You and I cannot recall those years and start all over again. But we have whatever minutes or days or even weeks or even months or even years ahead of us until the Lord returns. Let us spend these few moments that we have left on this earth putting on this garment of humility, learning to submit one to another, beginning at home, parent and children. Learn to love one another, care for one another. How wonderful it is to have such a wonderful home. And then in the church, it's the same case, same scenario. But you can look at everybody and there is no grudge, no animosity, no bitterness, but you are at peace. Your conscience is clear and you are right with God and with all men. You know how wonderful that is in your heart? And to do that, submit to one another. Voluntarily, happily, willingly, sincerely, from your heart. Would you? Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, may Thou sanctify Thy people, O Lord, whom Thou hast brought into Thy house this Lord's Day morning, by Thy truth. For Thy word is truth, that we may realize that we have a gracious, compassionate, loving God, and we who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Help us, O Lord, to put on this garment of humility, that we may learn to submit to one another in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may experience thy grace and thy exaltation in thy due time, and that to know that we have a God, a loving God, who cares for us. In Jesus' most precious and holy name we give thanks and pray. Amen.